There's an old Italian proverb, he who enjoys good health is rich, though he knows it not. Your overall wellness, both physically and mentally, is the foundation to all your success. We speak regularly to your mental health, motivating you with the thoughts of great thinkers and inspiring stories of others. But today, I want to do a combination of the two, both mental and physical wellness. So I asked Dr. James Rouse to join us here today for this very purpose. Dr. James is an expert in lifestyle medicine and high-level wellness. His depth of experience as a naturopathic doctor, entrepreneur, leadership coach, wellness magazine founder, and Ironman triathlete is the perfect combination for this discussion today. Dr. James, welcome to Success. Great to have you here.
Darren, it's an honor. Great to hear you, my friend. Thank you.
So Dr. James, I gave our listeners kind of the highlights of who you are and why you're here, but give us your version of yourself and your expertise. I mean, what makes you so passionate about everything related to health and wellness?
You know, Darren, I think for me, one of the greatest catalysts for me getting into the area of health and wellness came from growing up in an area which was highly unwell. Generations of alcoholism, cancer, diabetes, heart disease was my ultimate catalyst. You know, I think for a lot of people who are listening to this CD are thinking to themselves, gosh, you know what? It would have been so much easier if I'd grown up in a place where my family was bringing broccoli to the table every night. We were getting up in the morning and doing calisthenics. We were listening to self-help tapes, listening to things that Darren Hardy puts out. Wouldn't that have been an amazing way to grow up? I didn't grow up that way, and I'm sure most of the people listening didn't grow up that way either. But we can use that as a catalyst. We can use that as a way to serve us up to the idea that when you see something that's not working, you can take notes, and you can start looking at the ideas of where those things really hit you. And I think when it comes to health and wellness, one of the most primary opportunities that we can see to leverage your own ideas and motivation around self-care, they probably come down to the fundamental idea that you are alive to the degree that you serve. And when you serve yourself wellness every single day, you start up-leveling every area of your life. And truly, Darren, that is how I caught fire with wellness nearly 30 years ago. And today, I have the honor of supporting people all over the world with the thing that I'm really learning more than anything, that we get a chance to show up every single day with self-care, and it will rock the world around us.
Well, the one disadvantage everybody has here, Dr. James, is that they can't see you because you are the living personification of your message. You ought to see this guy. I mean, what an amazing example of wellness and youthful vitality. I want to talk to you about how to solve some of these issues for other people so that they can be like you. Talk about the number one issue you see when it comes to people and how they approach their health and wellness. What's the one thing you see across the board that hinders people or holds them back from being their best selves?
I think the number one thing that holds people back from being their best self is real simple. They tend to treat health and wellness, whether it be diet, exercise, any area of self-care, Darren, they tend to put it in isolation. They tend to put it in that place that says, you know what, I should go and exercise. Or they have their exercise area in a little corner of their house, very much detached from other parts of their life. I think one of the greatest things that we can do is start to embrace health and wellness and the practice of self-care and integrate it into your life. Make it front and center. When you make it a priority, it'll literally augment the quality of every area of your life. So that one thing, prioritize it, connect it to everything that you love, all the things that bring you life into your life, you will find that health and wellness will serve you in every area of your life that you value and that you love.
So breaking it down simply, you have an overall wellness philosophy, and there are three parts to it. Think, eat, and move. So take a minute and tell us your philosophy and the roles of these particular elements.
Well, having been a long subscriber to your magazine, Success, Darren, and which is something I love and look forward to every single month, I think we'd all agree on the fact that thinking is the primary catalyst for all success. It's the primary catalyst for fulfillment. When you think in terms of what success can do for you, it all starts with your thinking. All thought is creative. You change your thinking, you change your life. And what really is awesome about the idea of think, eat, and move, beginning with the power of thought. When you think to yourself and say, gosh, you know what? What would I like more of in my life? I'd like more success. I'd like more fulfillment. I'd like more peace, more meaning. Understand, this goes back to your previous question, that the way you think and the way you move and the way you eat all serve each other. So if you're eating well and you're moving well, it'll improve the quality of your thinking. And as a side effect, you become more vital, more energetic, more positive, more successful in every area of your life.
So if we were to run to the end of this discussion, I would say that it comes down to our habits, right? We're all creatures of habit, good habits, bad habits alike. So give us an example of a good habit or a routine that you have. For example, share your daily morning routine to start the day feeling energized and ready to take on anything.
Well, here's the rub, Darren. We all know this, that 95% of our behaviors are habitual. And I'm a big believer like you are, that you start your day as almost like a linchpin opportunity. Here's the cool thing. If you consider that there's a keystone habit opportunity every single morning, and the way that you begin your day, that initial habit, you know, it's interesting to consider, what's more comfortable to you? Is it going to be laying in bed on your pillow or looking across the room and seeing your running shoes? What's more comfortable, the pillow or the running shoes? We all know, and we can all come to that place and say, this is interesting. I know my running shoes are going to move me in powerful ways, but my pillow is more comfortable. That one habit, if we can get ourselves out of bed and if we can move in that place, grab those running shoes, initiating that one habit will change everything. Now, contrary to that, say the habit is hitting the snooze alarm, and from there, grabbing 3 more minutes of that most insidious form of denial, which is the snooze alarm. And then from there, moving into saying, gosh, I'm going to go ahead and pop on the evening news that's been recorded on my TiVo, and I'll watch about 20 minutes of depressing national news to move into the local news. I'll grab an aquarium of coffee, and from there, I'm going to hop in traffic and get mad at everybody. That initial habit of staying in bed, a snooze alarm, can create the idea of stress moving into wanting to watch the news to medicate yourself with media. And from there, you medicate yourself with more caffeine. And all those things create a different kind of habit. I'm a big believer that that linchpin habit, first thing in the morning, getting up and listening to the idea of think. You start with the idea of gratitude. You start looking at your beliefs for the day, your goals for the day, your intentions for the day, and then you move. The most beautiful thing about movement, Darren, this is something that we all have. We have a pharmacy that's alive and well inside of our bodies every single moment of our life. And if we are willing to take that trust walk and start with the initial good habit, what's going to happen? That pharmacy starts to ignite for us optimism, confidence, motivation. That one habit change, the pillow versus the running shoes, can ignite a whole experience of other habits. Because I'm a big believer, and I've seen this clinically for over 20 years, one good habit will beget another great habit. So if you can start your day with pulling the linchpin, that keystone habit of movement, you will start a chemistry of events that's going to happen to encourage you to become more motivated, more positive, more optimistic. And from there, you start making other great choices to support and augment the power of that initial habit, Darren. This is the beautiful thing. We are creatures of habit, but we have the infinite power and potential to choose the habit that's going to unlock our genius and really create our success.
Okay, so I'm liking this. So give us two or three other important mind and body habits that we should make part of our daily routines.
Well, number one, I'm a big believer in creating a total transformation around distraction. One of the things I love about my monthly Success magazine, we talk time and time again about how we get distracted, how we need to work in more block time, how we need to be more focused. Here's one of the things that can be one of the truly game-changing opportunities, because we are all going to be distracted. It's part of life. It's part of our physiology. But here's what you can do differently. Say you're giving yourself a goal to say, I'm going to work for 60 minutes solid, uninterrupted. And your goal is to kind of crush that 60 minutes. And then you find yourself getting close to that 60 and you go, man, I'm getting tired. I'm getting stressed. I'm losing my focus. Here's what you can do in 3 minutes. This one habit given to yourself every hour to an hour and a half will change your physiology, change your productivity. Here's what you want to do, Darren. Stop everything. You get up after your hour and you say to yourself, okay, here's my goal. I want to get myself back engaged, back in the game. So your first minute's dedicated to a little bit of self-massage. You literally massage your shoulders. You go ahead and have a big yawn. A big yawn actually increases the pleasure hormone oxytocin. So between giving yourself a little shoulder rub, arm rub, and from there doing a big yawn, you'll all of a sudden get oxytocin. So you've gone from that place of being stressed to starting to feel pleasure. Now, secondly, you take that second minute and you get up from your chair, get up from your desk, get up from what you're doing, and you simply run in place. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. This is going to look silly. This is going to be ridiculous. But 30 seconds of running in place very, very hard will aerobicize your brain. And when you aerobicize your brain, you're going to oxygenate your brain again. And here's what's going to happen. Two really cool things. Number one, you're going to lower that stress hormone, cortisol. Now, cortisol is the big game slayer. It will actually take you out of your game. It'll make you stupid. It'll grow you old. It'll do all the things you don't want to have happen. And it builds during stressful times. Movement lowers cortisol. Now, at the same time when you're moving, you're going to increase something called dopamine. Now, dopamine is a wonderful, powerful hormone. It's a brain chemical that increases your confidence, your motivation. It makes you feel like Zorro. So you went up from being in that place where you're down and out, fatigued, and just 2 minutes, you gave yourself permission to change your chemistry and change your outlook. And that third minute's real simple. Go ahead and just start the idea of breathing and saying a simple phrase such as, I am a genius. I am awesome. I am centered. And I know this may sound a little far out, but really, Darren, this is beautiful science. That simple act of saying a mantra affirming your goodness actually will help to augment and cement a higher level of serotonin in your brain. And that helps you be more calm, more centered, more direct. So when you go back into your game, when you go back to your desk, back to your computer, back in front of your team, that 3 minutes changed your chemistry. That one habit can change everything.
I can hear people going, you know, this is great. I'm going to do this. And they start to do it. And they do it two or three times, two or three days, maybe even 2 or 3 weeks. But then the law of diminishing intent starts to settle in, right? Despite being creatures of habit, one of the difficulties I see humans face is maintaining their habits or having willpower or not having it as a result. So discuss the importance of willpower and how we can raise ours to be more successful with our wellness goals over a longer, sustained period of time.
Darren, one of my favorite parts of your book, The Compound Effect, is we talk about mojo, which for me is the other version of really good old solid willpower. How do you keep yourself motivated? How do you keep yourself sustained in really playing full out, full on your A game? Here's some simple science to consider. There are three things that science tells us that will help us to keep our willpower strong all day long. So if you're in a place you're feeling vulnerable, you're starting to see your vision fade, you're starting to see yourself in that place of vulnerability to distractions, or this can happen at work with Facebook, it can happen with a certain coworker, it can happen at home. When you come home after a long day and you're beelining for the kitchen, you can't wait to get in the pantry and have a knockdown drag out with refined carbohydrates and shelf life of 20 years plus, those kinds of foods, you need a little bit of a willpower on demand, push the button, get myself back into my power zone. Here's what you want to do. These three things will help build your willpower. Number one, you want to manage your blood glucose. One of the most important distinctions is how we feed our brain versus feeding our emotions. When you think about feeding your brain, think about how whole foods such as fiber-rich foods, protein-rich foods, the right kind of low-glycemic carbohydrates, these kinds of foods will help create a steady stream of glucose for your brain. And when your brain is well-fed, when it has a steady stream of glucose, Darren, this is the beautiful thing. Your brain lives on glucose. And when your glucose levels go down, you start to lose yourself. You lose your energy. You lose your conviction. You lose your willpower. So eating well throughout the day. I see as folks get over to the age of 30, 35 years old, we start to really find the way that we actually are using most of our energy in a mental capacity. Less physical, more mental. And our brain requires more energy to support that type of demand. So every 3 hours, every 3 to 3.5 hours, feed your head. Feed your head good, balanced foods, a handful of almonds, a handful of pumpkin seeds, eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Those kinds of things will ensure that your brain gets a steady stream of glucose. And when it happens, Darren, that's initial laying the foundation for willpower. Number two, exercise. We talked about it first thing in the morning. We just talked about it a moment ago about the whole idea of aerobicizing your brain to build dopamine. Good research speaks to the idea that our brain and our willpower centers within our brain are built on the idea of making sure the chemistry of success is innate and intact. Exercise, one of the most powerful ways that we can build our willpower. First thing in the morning, when we lay down a 20 to 30 minute exercise program, ideally done in some kind of strength training, doing some sort of interval training, wind sprints, things like that. Those kinds of practices will help build that chemistry and support your willpower all day long. And thirdly, it's the power of breath, breathing correctly. You'll notice when you're stressed out, you tend to be very shallow in your breathing. If you ever watch a baby breathe, a baby only uses its belly. It just uses its diaphragm. That basically speaks to the fact that babies are not stressed. And when you're stressed, you go to shallow breathing, you lose your willpower because you're building stress hormones. Simply change your breathing to help you re-engage with your power center. Those three things will change your chemistry and certainly augment the overall power of your willpower.
Let's talk about nutrition. There's so much conflicting advice, and there's also just so much advice in the area of what we should be eating and so forth. And I think that for a lot of people, it provides a convenient excuse to do nothing, right? Because they're just perplexed. I don't know what to do. So then they just go back to their poor habits. So if you were to boil it down to three things that people could remember, at least these three things, it might not encompass everything about their health and wellness, but three power pack nutritional tips that if they enact in their lives, they will see and feel a difference that can be sustainable and have a big impact in their longevity and the way that they feel during that longevity. What would be a couple of few really important nutritional tips?
Well, I think number one, Darren, goes back to one of your initial questions, the whole idea of think, eat, move. If you were given the opportunity to grow your brain, to literally change the size, the dimension, the power, the creativity of your brain, Darren, would you go for that and say, what is it? I'll order it every single day. Would you do that?
Absolutely.
Of course you would. And here's the beautiful thing. Contrary to popular belief, your brain, our brain, that wonderful house of thought and creativity, is up for growth. And here's how we make it happen with nutrition. There's a beautiful thing. It's a protein. And this protein is called BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. If you can lay that down in a Scrabble game, game over, you win. What BDNF does for a living is really simple. It is the house of happiness. It's a house of creativity. It is the way that we think big. It is where our best ideas come from. That is where we become just an absolute Zorro in the cognitive department. If we can do this, it actually catches fire and does amazing things for us. Here's how we build BDNF. Here's one habit. Absolutely look at the idea of how processed foods and sugar work in your life. Yeah, they increase inflammation, they can increase your risk for diabetes and heart disease, but they also take away the power of BDNF. Now, on contrary to this, when you have healthy omega-3s, if you do wild salmon for dinner, if you have a handful of walnuts for an afternoon snack, any way that you can bring those healthy, heart-healthy omega-3s, that is the primary food choice for BDNF. So you start your day off, you have a big bowl of steel-cut oats, you throw in some ground flaxseed, a couple of whole walnuts, you got those omega-3s feeding your brain, literally helping to increase the stores of that protein, BDNF, to help you grow your creativity, to grow your cognitive power. Now, interesting enough, too, you can help to cement that in by doing a couple of the practices. Here's the great thing. That second tip is really all about how do you end your day. We know that inflammation and stress and poor diet can really steal our fire when it comes to our cognitive power. It can really take away our ideas. There's nothing more sad than to watch someone's cognitive decline unfold before your eyes, a loved one, a friend, someone who you know that either it's an Alzheimer's type experience or something in relationship to just aging and decline. One of the most powerful opportunities we have is to continually think about how we feed our head, at the same time, really look at how we manage our stress. At the end of your day, because so many of our listeners, so many of the readers of success are high-achieving people. These are people who serve, they volunteer, they work hard, they lead. They lead an amazing life. These are the people sometimes get home and they are tired, but they're wired. They can't come down. And they immediately eat up fast, they watch some news, they go to their computers, they work some more. Here's what I encourage people to consider. Put a bookend at the end of the day. Place a significant, absolute, absolute, non-wavering bookend. And that bookend is a dinner that is going to help you to get off the stress express, really help you get yourself back into balance. You can do this really simply, Darren. It's all about getting into the idea of helping to promote a certain brain chemical. It's called anandamide. Now, anandamide lives on healthy fats. So if you came home at the end of the day and you're looking to find a way to get off that tired and wired place, get yourself back into balance, and really preserve your intelligence, but at the same time, really help to fight inflammation, get yourself a good night's sleep, build anandamide. And it's simply done by, again, things like healthy omega-3s, doing some B-rich vitamin foods like beans, legumes, dark green leafies like spinach, kale, broccoli. These types of foods, between the B vitamins, the omega-3s, help to build anandamide. And if you do these kinds of things, you throw on like a nice half of an avocado on top of those vegetables, that's going to actually help your body to absorb those antioxidants and really absorb those healthy fats. Now, anandamide comes from the Sanskrit. If anybody's a yoga practitioner out there, they think ananda, that's a Sanskrit word for bliss. This is your bliss chemical. And Darren, it is sitting there ready to be used every single evening to help you gain balance again, help you release the stress, and really, really wonderful, help you create the chemistry for a great night's sleep. So Anandamide loves to be fed healthy whole foods, and this type of chemistry can help you disengage, get yourself back into a place of balance so the following morning you can get up and make things good happen again.
You're so articulate here and passionate. I want you to speak to this issue because one of the things that I see the problem that people have is their association with food. They see food as entertainment and pleasure to sedate their emotions, right? They live to eat rather than eating to live. I mean, eating and food should just be fuel, fuel for your brain, as you've been talking about, fuel for your body, fuel to enable you to do and accomplish the dreams and goals that you've got, not as a form of entertainment or pleasure. It's like you walk through all day through this minefield of temptations and solicitations on your weakest nature, your emotional weakness, and your ability to get through that landmine is going to be your emotional maturity, right? To say no to the wrong things and see food in its proper order, which is as fuel and not as pleasure. What guiding principles can you provide that helps people stay on this discipline with turning away from seeing food as a way to sedate our emotions and turn more towards fuel for our bodies and our minds and the necessary ingredient to accomplish the bigger dreams and goals that we've got for our lives? What do you say around that, Dr. James?
Darren, I love the question, and it makes me think of so many people who I believe are part of your core community at Success. People who are real leaders, people who really take care of others. This will be a bit of a stretch for a lot of people, but this can truly help you understand the way we can move away from eating to live to truly, if you will, eating to live in such a way that it really starts to understand the most important fact when it comes to diet. Diet comes from the Greek dieta, which simply means way of life. And there's a primary diet and there's a secondary diet. Your primary diet, think about this, comes from the School of Integrative Nutrition. They basically talk about how it is that your primary diet is your level of meaning in your life, your purpose, your service, the way, your big why and why you get up in the morning and why you go after the life that you've created for yourself, why you always want to be going for more. It's about your relationships. It's your level of service to the world. It's a way that you have your meaning to give you life. That is your primary diet. Now, your secondary diet, those are the carbs, the proteins, and the fats. And here's what's interesting, Darren. When your primary diet, your reason for being, your purpose, why you get up in the morning and why you want to matter, all the things that you love about life, the people you love, the people you want to serve and care for, when that primary diet is fulfilling, when it's in alignment, when it's balanced, when it's nourishing you, your secondary diet tends to take care of itself. That's the most interesting thing. Now, if you're in a place where that's not where it's at, watch how it is. You will start to focus on, how do I start to medicate myself with carbohydrates? How do I start to get myself feeling better about myself for just a fleeting moment by feeding myself unhealthy foods? Get that quick buzz, and then I know I go down that much further. This whole idea of focusing on primary foods will help you to truly create a relationship where we are eating to live. And here's what's amazing about this too, Darren. When you start to really get that fundamental distinction, when you start to really align with the idea of how it is that your primary diet is your true source, it really starts to make all the difference to know the big question to always ask yourself before you sit down and eat. Remember, are you eating alone? And if you really take the time and answer that question, you'll always come back with, I never eat alone. Because every time I take a bite of something, every time I put something into my body, it is going to create a chemistry. Is that chemistry going to be awesome? Is it going to be empowering? Is it going to be centering and creative and courageous? Or am I going to take down my game? If you need to have a catalyst, if you need to want to have a motivator, something that you can do to always remind yourself how good you are and the power that your diet brings to your world and the world around you, always ask that simple question. Are you eating alone? Because you never are. Because every time you do eat, it's affecting everything around you and everything that you value. So truly choose to eat well.
I really like that answer of primary nutrition and understanding that over secondary nutrition, which is the one that most people put their focus on. So Dr. James, there's been so many great ideas that that's the one thing that I fear for our listeners is that there were so many great ideas. I want them to remember one in particular. So before we close out here, if you could just offer one action item that everybody, once the CD ends, that they go and do that could change the trajectory of their habits, their disciplines, the movement of their life going forward? What would be that one key idea you want people to remember 6 months from now, 6 years from now, 60 years from now?
Well, this is a great question, Darren. It's going to be difficult to do this in a way that really, I think, answers it. People want to go, you know what, just eat this one food. Do this one ab exercise and you will totally crush your wellness goals. I'm not going to tell you that. On that one sticky note, I want you to write the simple phrase, I am a movie star. How's that? And I think this really comes to this thing. People go, what does that mean? It simply means that if you really want to catch fire with your wellness, if you want to have bulletproof discipline, if you want to be motivated every single day of your life, remember that your life is a motion picture. Meaning that every single one of us are connected. We all have something called mirror neurons, and that is sort of our neurological copycat system that we all are blessed with. And that neurological copy system is always taking notes. It's always watching the environment around us. So when you wake up in the morning, and you have a great habit of getting out and moving first thing in the morning, eating a great breakfast, snacking throughout the day, doing all the right things, don't be afraid to bring enough ego into that experience as you start to demonstrate that for everyone around you. Because here's what's happening. We've normalized obesity in this country. We've normalized depression. We've normalized mediocrity. We need to have some courageous community step up and absolutely start to put forth an epic motion picture called healthy living. Put that sticky note right where you can see it. Make 10 of them. The dashboard, the bathroom mirror. Put it where you know you're going to remind yourself that you are a movie star and you've got the greatest work of your life to do. So do it with passion.
Dr. James Rouse, wow. Just being around your vitality makes me feel more vital. Thank you for sharing and showering us with your bright light and your brilliant ideas and insights. Appreciate having you here at Success. Thanks so much for being with us.
Darren, it was truly an honor. Thank you for all the work you do, and bless your heart, my friend.